Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The expression from the music inspired me so much to take risks, and it inspired damn near the whole rap game.
Hello again, I'm Adam Unz. You may know me as the host of The Opus, and now I'm bringing my own show, The Spark Parade, to the Consequence Podcast Network. I speak with artists and creatives about the cultural artifacts that spark their personal interest and creativity, whether it's music, books, movies, video games, or any other kind of art.
I've never spoke about it in this amount of detail. I'm suddenly going, oh my God, I'm blowing my own mind here, Bryce. It's actually a giant part of my life.
By talking about the things we love, we share and discover insights into our personality and the things that drive us.
It's just magic, really. I mean, frustrating. And it made some people angry, but I don't think anyone's ever done anything like it.
I speak with people like Connor Oberst, Phoenix's Thomas Mars, Chris Gethard, Helen Hong, Adrian Young, and more, so their sparks of inspiration can start a fire in you.
I'm grateful for those who continue to put our history and who we are as a people in the forefront and make you see it.
Find the Spark Parade wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It is Bonnaroo season. Schedule officially dropped this week. We are just a few days away from Bonnaroo 2022. Now that you see the whole lineup laid out in a schedule form, does it change how you're approaching Bonnaroo? We take a deep dive into the schedule, share some news about ticket sales, and a personal note to add along the way. Barry Corder, Lord Taco, Brad Steiner, Bonnaroobians through it all, diving into the schedule today on the What Podcast. It starts right now.
Which band this year that matter? There's Barry Corder, there's Lord Taco, I'm Brad. Hello again, team. We are how many days away? It's getting close, huh? Are you feeling it?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Nailed
good, bad, scared, all of it.
Scared. What are you scared about?
Oh, I always get this way about this time. Yeah. It gets me up at night thinking of, suddenly I can smell the porta potties all over again. And
yeah.
The heat. Yeah.
All Barry, that's just your basement. I hate to tell you. Been a while.
I buy that in a spray can just to be familiar.
Taco, you excited? You feeling it?
I'm excited. I'm pumped.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do you have the fever?
No, I tested negative.
Okay.
He's always ready to get in that bus.
Yeah, always. Always ready to get up in that bus.
Get all up in it. He's ready.
So it was a big week today. We kind of thought that the schedule was going to come out today, or at least this week. So we'll go through the schedule, even though there's not much to go through, and some news that we have, and then some personal news that we will share on the big show today. I want to start with Taco. You know computers much better than I do. Is it me, or is this schedule impossible to read on this website? It's impossible to see it on the phone. What I'm looking on the website, it, like, I'm going to send you a screenshot. I'm going to print my screen and then put it into like an email for you to see what I'm looking at. What am I doing wrong?
Okay, Dad, print screen and email it to me.
I can't even tell you how happy I am with the line of this conversation. Like,
why do you want me to do it? Okay, wait a second. Because
I was
going
to say it, but I refused. I refused to put that in front of you. Too.
Why don't you fax it to me?
I'm sending it to you via pigeon. Look at the picture that I just sent you. What am I doing wrong? I see one line on a schedule, and that's it. What is wrong with this interface? There's something very wrong with this interface.
Nothing. What? I don't understand. What do you mean?
I sent you the picture. You tell me what I'm missing.
Yeah, I'm looking
here.
At it.
What is that?
Exactly.
I don't know what you're missing. I don't know what I don't know.
What do you want to know?
That's your only choice right there, Brad. That's it.
What are you asking?
Like, what is this supposed to... I don't know how to look at this schedule.
It's not easy to navigate. I agree. I actually found somebody, thankfully, posted it on Reddit. We're used to seeing.
Yeah, I need it as a grid, man. I need it as a grid. I don't need you to do all these funky little, bars that go left to right, and then I don't need any of that. I just want the damn grid.
Well, they tweeted out pictures that are in grid form.
Well, I know, and thank God they did. But I just went to the website, and it is so confusing. I just don't know how to navigate this thing. It's not easy. You agree with me that it's not easy.
I agree, and I think it's because there's so many choices. There's so many options. I don't know how else they could have done it.
Well, I mean, I like the
grid form.
I like the pictures. I like the grids. I mean, I know I'm sounding like get off my lawn here, but it's
pretty much. But like, you're not wrong.
The other thing too is like, I don't know. I'm having a harder and harder time every year navigating their newfangled technology they're trying to throw at me. I want the damn thing in a VCR, and that's it. Put it in a VCR.
Tell me what I'm supposed to be and what time. I'm so glad you just said that, because today I've been trying to navigate this thing, and I'm like, nope, I'm not sending this.
I just don't know why they got to make this so hard. There's like no need for this amount of shit. Like, just put it on a damn grid and make it easier for me to digest. I cannot do this.
Go look at what they tweeted, because they tweeted pictures.
That's good. But have you tried to watch this on your look at this on your phone? It's even worse.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea how to navigate this thing on my phone.
I mean, your tip last week about put the schedule as your home screen. Yeah, that ain't gonna work.
Well, no, that you take the picture that they tweeted out, you save that. and then use that as your home screen is what I'm saying.
But even that doesn't have this schedule that they have has all the extra stuff. There you go.
Y'all, right. y'all are stressing me out.
Well, thank God we know exactly how to rectify your stress, Taco.
Okay, what's your question?
Okay. Oh, is that how I have to get technical support around here? My IT guy's got to be drunk before he'll answer a question about a website design. Let's be honest. For a festival that does user experience so well, this is very, very difficult to navigate. Okay. I'm not going to be swayed on that. It's very difficult to navigate. All right. Before we get into anything else, and I'll stop complaining about it, what are your overall impressions around the room of schedule 2022?
Wow,
that good, huh? All right,
yeah.
Good. Talk to you guys next week.
No.
45 days out.
Had several days to think about it. I am going to go with 2016. That's going to be my whole theme, my whole motif in all of this. That was, you remember... Several reasons. If you remember, that was the lowest turnout that they've ever had, but it was also one of our favorite years.
I had a great time. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was great. It was the grounds were great. The setup was great. Mm-hmm. We didn't know hardly anybody on the lineup, so we determined to have fun and discover and just let it, whatever happened. And that's after sort of struggling with this Saturday and yesterday and studying a little more today, that's kind of where I've landed. Don't know a lot of people on Thursday, but that's typical. Sunday did not look very good over the weekend. Still not a day that I would, you know, choose to be my favorite, but there's some stuff on there that I can work with. Friday and Saturday are okay. So there are not, for me, a lot of what the typical, you know, when schedule comes out, you know, you pull your hair out and say, oh my gosh, my favorite band's playing against my other favorite band. There's some conflicts, but it's not terrible. I'll get to the biggest one I don't quite understand later if you want. Or I can just mention
it now. No, I mean, I want to hear whatever you think about the schedule. Let me hear it. I want to, good, bad, indifferent, it doesn't matter to me.
I don't quite understand the Super Jam being a 6 o'clock in the evening event.
Okay, you're hitting something that I hadn't even noticed yet, but you are exactly right. What is with that?
I mean, that's late night. 6:30 to 8:00. Yeah, Super Jam. I don't know. That's just.
It's supposed to be a late night thing, not an early afternoon. Yeah. I mean, that's a walk by at this point.
Yeah.
That's one of the better things on Saturday.
Absolutely. And it's up against Mount Joy, who I'd like to see. It's not necessarily against a lot of things, but it kind of, I don't know.
I mean, to bill Jude and the Lion over Jack Antonoff Super Jam is quite bold.
Yeah. I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. It would go right into Super Jam and then Judah.
Although if you were to look at Saturday, the Saturday late night is probably the better of the two late nights. Correct me if I'm wrong. What do you think? Because I'm going through the Friday late night now. Yeah, I'm all in on the Saturday late night. Weirdly enough, it does feel as though the Friday schedule is better than Saturday. The Saturday late night seems to be a little stronger. But overall, boy, the bookends are maybe the two weakest Thursday and Saturday Sundays I've ever seen at this festival.
Yeah,
I agree.
And that middle, what are we talking, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock till whatever on Friday probably is the real conflicts for me.
Interesting. Because mainly that's Barry's nap time?
Well, yeah, I've got to recover from Wednesday and Thursday. Uh-huh. But no, you've got Robert Plant, Isaiah Rashad, who we've mentioned many times, the Chattanooga guy, the Regrets. I'm just going across Japanese Breakfast, War on Drugs, you know, leading into the Chicks, who, like I said, I want to see. So that's couple of hours is probably the biggest conflict time for me.
I would actually agree. I think your Friday block there of War on Drugs, Arlo Parks, Bleachers are probably the only spot right where I feel like, oh man, that's, you just knocked out three of the very few acts I wanted to see to begin with.
Right.
And I'd really have to make a choice because, man, I love Arlo Parks. She's incredible. And I've seen War on Drugs a whole bunch of times. So Bleachers are touring everywhere, so there's a very good chance they've already come through your city. And if you really wanted to see them, you already would have. So maybe the answer becomes pretty easy after that, and it's Arlo Parks. But yeah, it does feel like that's the only place where, and then maybe the overnight, the late night stuff where, you know, you're probably, at least I am, bouncing from one show to the next. Late night. I feel like you're probably right. That's the only spot where I feel a little bit of difficulty. Now, Robert Plant's great, but, you know, Japanese Breakfast, I've got to give another shot. You know, I can't let that last show, Bonnaroo,
right,
be the taste in my mouth, because I like her way too much to give up on that band.
Yeah, and I didn't see it yet. It's on our to watch, but the Saturday Night Live show went well from everything I've read.
I mean,
right?
I watched it. I think that she's just an artist that you're either going to really love or just not connect with. And I love her. I really do. I didn't really understand that Saturday Night Live performance.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet. King Gizzard, only for an hour. Little strange, but as we've been told many times by the guys who booked this thing and the promoters, you know, who we had on, it's at the request of the bands, right? It's not that Bonnaroo has said, hey, you got an hour. They pretty much book them for what they ask for, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they only played an hour at Shaky Knees, and that felt criminally too short.
That seems to me like about two songs from what I've, you know.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. just getting warmed up, right? Just getting mm-hmm. sweaty.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Do have Goose on there for two hours.
So your overall impression is that you tended to think that Friday or Thursday and Sunday was light. There weren't a lot of conflicts because there frankly weren't a lot of things that you wanted to see. Is that pretty much the gist of it?
I think you hit the word, and it's a word I was thinking about this. You know, for the first three or four years, I went by myself covering it for the paper, and it's pretty much... I don't know that I coined the word, but I sure used it a lot, which was walk by.
Taco.
This feels like a
if I would have ever said the words, I coined a phrase, you guys would never, ever, you'd put it on a goddamn t-shirt.
Dispute
you would
me.
Never let me live it down if I said, well, I coined the phrase.
Dispute me.
It's true. I have to pay Barry every time I use the word walk by now.
How in the world would I get away with that? How in the world would I get away with saying, guys,
you wouldn't.
I created a phrase that you guys use all the time, and that's how cool I am.
Yeah, I mean,
you're the one who told us you invented Netflix.
That's right. That's right. And the bubble.
I feel like so I did. And satellite television, too, by the way.
I had to give you something to pick on. No, but honestly, it just feels, this feels like a walk by. There's more walk by days and moments than
Barry,
typical.
This thing feels like a walk by festival.
Yeah, somewhat.
All right, Taco, your initial impressions. What do you think?
Pretty much the same. I mean, it's very light and I'm happy about it. I mean,
yeah.
We're going in after
this,
2 years.
This feels like just a regular camping trip for you.
Pretty much. I mean, 2 years of not having it. I mean, we're going to need time to just get reacquainted and get settled back in. There's so many people that I want to meet up with and see and talk to that I haven't been able to for the past couple of years. So the fact that I'm not like on a very stringent band schedule means I've just got more time to float around and do whatever I want.
You've got more time for moms.
More time for moms.
See, yeah. Taco and I are going to be walking around asking if the bands can turn it down a little because we're trying to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I had plans in this tent. Can you guys move along?
Can you see we're talking here?
We're trying to have dinner here, please.
Hey, Black Tiger Sex Machine, can we move it along?
Man, that band is loud. Turn it down.
You know, we have historically on this podcast tried to be very positive and tried to be optimistic. The whole reason why we started it. It's also, you know, part of the Bonnaroo ethos. But man, this is really a struggle. I feel as bad of a Bonnaroo lineup as we've ever had, and I just feel like this might be one of the worst festival lineups of the entire season. Now, with all that being said, next year will be great. You know, last year would have been great. It's not like this is a problem. It's just one of those years where it's a struggle. Every festival's having a struggle unless they, you know, stumble and get, you know, pretty lucky. But, man, this is rough. And I know that we've said this before, that whenever we get really excited about a lineup, we wait until we see it on a schedule because then it starts to change our thought about it. I'm never going to live down the fact that I was over the moon about ACL Fest 2 years ago, and then when I see the schedule actually laid out, I'm like, this kind of sucks. I get that there's like, I don't know, nothing about this seems very exciting to me, which brings me to a little bit of personal news. It's not something that you guys would probably care about, but someone alert CNN, it'll be on the ticker for the rest of the night. This is the first time in 16 years I'm not going to be at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you with 100% certainty that it's because of my current life situation. I think that if for those who haven't caught up, I took a job with a rock station in New York City, and I'm up here not only doing that, programming that, and then a station in Detroit and a station in Miami, but I'm also on the air at this alternative station in New York, which was Howard Stern's station, which is kind of badass, but at least personally. So even if that stuff wasn't happening, if the lineup was better, I might have found a way to get there for a day or two. In fact, Barry, when I was talking about this job with you months and months and months before, I even said, well, maybe I come down for a day or two. Maybe the flights are cheap to Nashville. Maybe I'll just come in, stay in Nashville, and then drive in for a couple of days. I don't even have the bandwidth or the interest to do that.
Okay.
And I hate saying it. I really do, because you know how much I love this. There's nothing on here that I'm absolutely killing myself to go to. So it would have to be, well, Bonnaroo's never not great. All right, let me figure out a way to get there because I know it's going to be great. Well, the only difference with that, and I do agree with it, boy, the whole not in just totally investing every bit of energy into Camp Nut Butter is hard for me to wrap my head around. Hmm. Not being able to just get completely immersed in the giant cartoon heads and the lit marquee and all of the carpet and all of the goofiness that we bring to camp, not being able to do that and just getting on a plane and coming in for a day just feels so sterile. And I don't necessarily want to experience Bonnaroo that way. So it's a combination of a lot of things. And maybe if there was something on here that was needle moving, I would change my mind. But the boy, this is rough going.
Like I said, it started on Saturday for me, really. Well, let me go back. We've had 2.5 years to think about it, and when we didn't go, it sort of, as you, I think you mentioned it several weeks ago, it altered the rhythm of things, and it gave us all a chance to take stock of everything. Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying. If the lineup from 2020 was this year's lineup, I have a feeling you'd be figuring out how to get a plane ticket.
Yeah, you're probably right. Even if I and I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but yeah, you're probably right. I look at Sunday, and I wonder if there will be anybody there by 8, 9 o'clock.
Well, let me go back. So we should probably. You know, that is news, and you know, we're both going to miss you. It's going to be a very small Camp Nut Butter, for sure. But from what we're hearing, it's going to be a very small Bonnaroo. And I was thinking about that as well. I go back to 2016, and part of the reason, Ken Weinstein, who is the media person and has become a friend of the show and was on our
show.
By
the way, who actually coined a phrase?
Who coined the phrase, never not great. I see what you did there. It kind of hurt a little bit. Uh-huh. I'm going to have to prove it, aren't I? I'm going to have to go back and document.
Show receipts.
But who did coin the phrase, never not great, from 2016, which was the smallest crowd ever in, we're going on 20 years. It was great. And it's partly because everybody that is there wants to be there, and that makes a huge difference about this festival. We've all been to events where the numbers could be good, but it was still meh. Mm-hmm. But if you're going,
I had an absolute
it was great.
Blast in 2016. Of all the Bonnaroos, it's got to be in my top three. I mean, my favorite year that we've had. So the crowd size is not going to be a problem. But yeah, to your point, I know this information is out there because sponsors are starting to share it. But I mean, I didn't hear 35K. I heard 25K.
Yeah.
And when sponsors hear 35K, the reason why they're hearing that number is because they're being told a number so it'll justify the paycheck or justify the check that they're about to write. So whatever you hear a sponsor say, subtract a little bit of a fraction out of that, because they're overestimating for sponsors to make them feel as though their money is worthwhile to be spent with Bonnaroo. I was told 25K, and the next day I heard less than 30. So whatever that means to you, to me it means the things that we saw in 2016 are back. The fences moved in. The spaces got smaller, so it didn't feel so vast and empty. But more importantly, for those who have been to Exit 111, Taco, Barry, it's going to feel a lot like that.
I was about to ask, what was the numbers for Exit 111? Because this feels like this is about the attendance for Exit 111. And they did shrink it a bit. They brought Cineroo in tighter. They had some of the campgrounds closed, so it didn't feel as empty.
Right.
But it was definitely smaller. I mean, but most of those people never went to Bonnaroo, so they didn't know.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. And that's the thing that Brad and I reminded ourselves, you know, after 2016. I mean, when we got there for Media Day and noticed that how closed in the fence was on the wet stage area, it was like, you know, mind-blowing. And then the people who've never been would have no idea, so what's the big deal? You know, it still felt like a very good, large festival. Bands were great. Everything felt good.
By the time you're there, you're not going to give a damn that it's only 25,000 people around you. Exactly. You are not going. In fact, you're going to love it. You're going to love the fact that there's no lines for bathrooms and no lines for showers, and you know you're going to be able to get right up front.
Exactly.
But I will say, I mean, just with all the experience that you have on this farm, I really worry that there's going to be 7,000 people for the Stevie Nicks show come Sunday.
It does. I mean, it does beg.
That's
that
a really sad look.
You know what? And there's, as we've said many, many times, there's nothing worse than an empty room. I mean, even if it's a, you know, if it's a room that holds 10 and only two show up, two's still a good number for some events, but it doesn't feel right. So
yeah, I mean, Taco,
there is that concern.
Your question was how many people were at Exit 111. By their accounts, it was 25K.
Okay.
And that was,
that's about, that sounds about right. Yeah.
And
right.
That's with half of the square footage.
I got a follow-up question. Is that tickets sold or is that attendance? Because
attendance.
When you roll in attendance. Vendors, attendant. So vendors, volunteers, workers, you know, staff.
Yeah, you can get to 35K. Yeah, you can get to 35K, sure.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is round about now, it's not like you're going to be getting an extra, I don't know, 20,000 tickets being sold.
No, you're not going to get a lot of walk up at an event like this.
Uh-huh.
I do wonder, you know, they're still doing the load in on Tuesday and Wednesday, which was a good idea on paper. And I mean that sincerely.
No way that they can change that now.
No, I can't change it. But the reason was they were going to trying to figure out how to get 90,000 people into a 700-acre farm, you know, without long lines and all that, long delays and all that. So, I have no idea how many people signed up for Tuesday load in or Wednesday load in. As we look at the schedule, Thursday music starts around 4. So, you know, if you come in on Tuesday at what time, you've got a good 2.5 full days of, you know, entertainment.
Now, play Bonnaroo PR for a second. What do you think the reason is for the light attendance this year?
I mean, you want me to go? I'll go first. I think it's
Play PR, member of Bonnaroo.
If I'm them, I'm going to say pretty much what we've said. There are a lot of choices. People have made their choices. Maybe adding that extra day is not what people wanted. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe we're coming out of the pandemic. Now, I mean, I would spend more time and color it better than I'm coloring it right now. But I think those are all legit, and I think those are what they're going to say. They're not going to say it's a lineup, you know, because they're going to say it's never not great. It's still going to be great. It's always a fun time. It's a time for community.
Well, to be fair, a lot of things that you said are actually true. You know, not only is the economy really tough, we're coming out of a a pandemic where people are making different choices about where they're spending their money, and they're having to be very, very specific with the things that they choose to do, not just with their dollars, but with their time. And, you know, it's not like all the other festivals are blowing up and blowing the doors off the place. There are a few spaces where they're doing really well. I'd like to know what the hangout number ended up being over the past weekend. But, you know, Lollapalooza hasn't sold out yet. They anticipate they're going to sell it. ACL sold out in a day. When We Were Young sold out multiple times. But other than that, are you really seeing a lot of movement on the big scale? I don't know what Coachella ended up doing, but did I hear that they sold out? I don't think I did.
Maybe Russ, you said Shaky Knees was great, right? Big crowds.
Shaky Knees felt like it had a big crowd. It didn't feel any smaller than last year.
Yeah,
but that's only 2 years I've been, but it definitely felt packed out.
And because it's a city festival, and it's so much easier to access, and so much easier for locals to be a part of. You know, Bonnaroo becomes difficult and becomes hard to.
Yeah,
it becomes a hard.
Shaky Knees had a great lineup too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what? Going back to the earlier question, what does happen if the 2020 lineup is this year's lineup? I mean, that was a heck of a lineup. It's hard to imagine that we at least don't double whatever the Bonnaroo number is. This year,
I do think that it's a very good point, Barry. Is that they? It never ends up being about the lineup, and there are
until it does.
I think that Bonnaroo has done such a great job of being post lineup. Right? They've figured out a way to create an incredible atmosphere that is not lineup dependent. Well, you know, maybe we're entering into a world, not maybe, we've entered to a world where things are different and the lineup is going to be very lineup dependent now. I mean, what you're asking somebody to do is it's a load of effort to do this over a course of a few days. And, you know, people's options are wider and vaster and closer. But
you said earlier yourself, next year they come back. You know, the ones that are going want to go, right? I mean, we all agree on that, right? I mean,
I think this that isn't we
a,
said, this,
it's never a halfway event, you know. It's
right.
It's
never, there was. I feel like there was a comment. I feel like there was a comment a few years ago when we said when it was 60,000 people for LCD Sound System and Pearl Jam and Dead and Company. I think we had. I feel like I'm remembering this correctly. Well, 30,000 is the base. You're never going to get less than 30,000 because. If half of the crowd are new Bonnaroovians or new people to the festival, 30,000, half of 60 was, I really do think like 30 is their drop dead base number. And so long as they get there, they're going to be okay.
Okay. And so that was, I guess, kind of where I was going. So those 30 show up and have, you know, another good time and they're going to tell a friend and bring a friend and, you know, maybe next year's lineup comes out early and it's amazing. And some of these other ones, as we've said, you know, how many of them survive? I really do feel like this is a transition year where we're going to see some go away and some survive and some figure out what works
well,
and doesn't work.
I don't get too crazy with that, Barry, because you'll get conspiracy theorists who see the state of Tennessee. I'm sorry, not the state of Tennessee. Well, it was the state of Tennessee in the city of Manchester. Putting the screws to Bonnaroo and Bonnaroo fighting back and saying, well, we don't need to do this here. So you start saying stuff like that, it's going to get people, you know, a little rocky. It's going to make them feel a little itchy.
Could be. Could very well be. There could be a lot of things going on behind doors we don't know about. But what we do know is it's Live Nation, right, which C3 has plenty of money and they do own the farm. So they're, you know, we would like to think committed. It's not, you know, it's not a small thing, but you're right. They're big enough too. They could walk away and say, see ya.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the way that it was told to me. I think we've said this before. It's not like Bonnaroo makes them a lot of money. I mean, it makes them enough to keep going and it is a valuable part of the whole asset. And part of the whole, you know, structure and, you know, but it's not like they're blowing the doors off making a ton of money here. They have a just a shitload of overhead that a city festival just doesn't have to have to engage in. I guess the next couple of weeks as we lead up to this, and by the way, if you haven't listened to the episode from last week where it's basically Bonnaroo do's and don'ts, it's a good precursor on how to get ready for any sort of festival that you might find yourself in this summer. But if you get time, go back and listen to that. But Barry, next week, your picks, taco picks, what do we got?
What do you want to do, Barry?
Will these be the shortest episodes in what podcast history? Yeah.
We might be able to combine them. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we ought to record them both at the same time.
Just picks. Yeah.
Just picks.
WB.
I think you guys are right. We probably just do one episode on this.
Yeah. Let's both be ready, Taco. We'll see where it goes.
Okay. I'll be ready.
But yeah, no, I there are picks. You know, back to this lineup, there aren't a lot of those conflicts are the ones, and that's usually what we talk about. It all. The other thing I will say, and I don't think we've said today, we have said in the past, not every lineup is for everybody. I do know some people who are excited about this lineup. Mm-hmm. It's not.
And they should be. The people who like this are going to have a blast.
And I really I know you're going to laugh, but I plan to spend some time over at the other. I want to find out some of those, the EDM and the trap bands and the house bands and all that. So this is as good a year if I'm ever going to do it. You know.
Yeah, especially you won't be missing much else to do it.
Especially some of the late night stuff. So, and we didn't really talk about with this schedule, though we have mentioned it many, many times. We might end up hanging out in GA.
I was about to say Taco. Taco, you didn't hear what Barry said to me. Barry didn't say this to you, but on the phone the other day, he goes, "I'm thinking about camping out in GA."
Maybe
he did mention that to me the other day, and I didn't disagree.
I mean, it's going to be a very different Camp Nut Butter, and I kind of felt bad. Kyle, the Bonnaroovian, wrote me on Snapchat the other day. He's like, "Hey, I got a media pass. I'm finally coming back to see Camp Nut Butter." I
said, okay.
Tell him bring a chair.
Yeah. Can you bring a full length chair? Because we're not going to have one.
You got any fencing and some carpet?
Barry wanted to do a chicken pen one year. Can you set that up?
I'm glad I didn't get that chicken last year. I don't know what would I do with it.
Oh, my God. If you had a pet chicken right now that you're hanging on for Bonnaroo, you would have eaten it by now.
Think of all the eggs I'd have by now.
We haven't said that Barry did want to bring a chicken, a live chicken, to Bonnaroo. Sneak a chicken in and have a chicken pen so that you... Was it going to be a rooster that's going to wake everybody up, or was it
that
just
was
going to
be? It's funny. We went back to the paper into the building for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and I still have the post-it note on my computer screen. Chickens. It's been there for 2 years. It made me laugh.
We'd have fresh eggs every morning.
You would, you'd probably have a few other chicks right about now. I feel like that chicken have a few extra members of the family.
I just picture, you know, that scene in The Hangover when they wake up, you know, people waking up at Camp Nut Butter and there's chickens.
Maybe it's a little foreshadowing because Barry writes down on a post-it chickens, and this year we have the chicks. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not too late, is it?
Barry, what's scribbled down on your table right now? Give me the first note that you see.
You don't want to know. It's a reminder.
Oh, my God. You drew a penis. You drew a wiener.
No, it's even worse. It's a work reminder. I called myself a moron on the note.
Is there a band called The Morons?
The Morons.
Is there a...
The Morans with an A.
Maury Povich. Maury Povich is coming.
Call it now.
Yeah. It feels bad to say because I love this festival so much, but do you feel like, and separate yourself for a second, is there anybody around you, and this might be circumstantial, but is there anyone around you excited about it? Is there anybody that you know that's going that's really excited about it? You guys are, you know, an hour away from Bonnaroo. Do you see local people talking about it?
That's a fair question, and it hurts me to say, but no. other than Taco and Brian Stone, you know, our typical Camp Nut Butter bunch. No.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really talked to anyone outside of our little bubble of people that are already going. So I haven't heard any, you know, word on the street about.
Well, take that back. Daniel, of course. Daniel is the Rubus. Those guys are over the moon. They have a huge event planned for Tuesday, and they should be excited, and it's going to be a fun. So, but they honestly, and the Red Rue guys and a lot of the regulars, are every bit as excited like we are. But to your question, am I hearing, you know, and like you said, we're an hour away, and usually my kids and their friends, mm-hmm. you know, would be all excited about it. And quite honestly, they're more excited about Riverbend than they are Bonnaroo. But, you know, I've listened and I've seen some of the online stuff. There are a lot of people excited, and they're not just regulars. There are people for whom, like a lot of these EDM bands are it's a great lineup mm-hmm. to a lot of them. So, the more I studied this schedule today and the more I thought about 2016 and part of that is just pumping myself up and getting ready. It'll be fun. Now what it looks like, I don't know.
I know that this is so subjective, and it always comes back to, you know, who you like versus who you don't like. So somebody who's spending a lot of time at the other, I'm sure, really, really likes this lineup. That's fine. But I keep coming back to 2016, and I don't think it's bad. I don't think there's it may not be stacked. It may not be thick around the middle. But, boy, there's still so much on there that is incredible. LCD, M83, Tame Impala, St. Lucia, Grizz, Alan Stone all on one day. Tyler, the Creator on one day. The Chainsmokers on one day. Vince Staple on the same day. That was just one day.
Did we ever decide why that year was so low? Did we ever determine a reason? Was it just because there were so many other festivals all of a sudden? That's my memory.
You know, I do not remember. I don't remember an explanation as to why exactly that year. And why would I? I'd have a terrible memory. But still, I keep coming back to this line. I'm like, that Friday alone was better than the whole festival combined. And I know somebody's going to rip me apart for saying that, but, you know, Bob Moses was the Friday opener. So was Blood Orange. You know, I'm sorry, they were the last one. But, like, there were some really, really solid bands on that lineup. And then you go to Saturday, the opener for the What Stage was Grace Potter.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's a lot there from 2016 that I think is still pretty good. Post Malone was on the other tent in 2016. He was the third person to play in 2016, Post Malone.
Yeah, there will be those that come out of this year. You know, those names that we look back. Hard to say going in, but I get what you're saying. And I really wish we could go back and try to remember what it was about 16 or the theory. I think it was kind of like this year where it was just a confluence of a lot of different factors, including there were a whole lot of new festivals.
I really don't remember. I just don't remember.
I'm certain of it. I think we went from, you know, several dozen to several hundred within that time. And there's, you know, well, I don't know.
No, I mean, look, I think that if you're around as long as Bonnaroo and Coachella, I mean, Coachella's got just an outrageous amount of money, but when you're this big, you're going to have bad years. I can't express to you how many bad years Lollapalooza's had. I mean, every year my Lollapalooza group just looks at each other like, why are we going to this? You know, like, but I always end up going. I always end up having a great time. And guess what? It's always sold out. So something still connects with that brand. Something still connects with it. Will be back and it'll be fine. But also, the other thing too that I equate it to, people like us talking about stuff like this is a lot of times like when sports or football dudes talk about the NFL salary cap. you know, and they've got an opinion on what team, or well, they're just spending way too much money on these players. They're going to be over the salary cap. How are they going to be under the salary?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? It's not your money.
Well, it's also like arguing over this year's championship team could never play with, you know, the championship team from 20 years ago or vice versa. Yeah.
If you are a fan of the festival and if you go to one of these things, what do you care if the lineup's good or not? You're going just to have fun because it's what you, it's your part of your, you know, that's part of your DNA at this point.
It's a point I've been trying to make today.
Yeah, we are.
That's exactly the point I've been trying to make today. Yeah, I don't care what the number is. I mean, it's, you know.
The fact that we're an hour away, I mean, I've driven further for worse things than a bad Bonnaroo.
I know. I met her. Barry, I will say that if I still lived there, I probably would be spending all of this time just making camp right.
There's
this would be the year that we would be going crazy making camp nuts.
There's no question.
Yeah, now that I think about it. Yeah, because there's not much else to do, you know? Camp better be baller.
We would be buying chickens.
this would have been the chicken year. This would have been the Dixie chicken year.
Dixie chickens.
So, yeah, I get it. It's it didn't help. I mean, it lost some of its mojo. I don't know how else to put it. Having to cancel for 2 years and then, you know, the way they sort of handled it, not being able to make refunds, it sort of lost some mojo, and I think that, and these other ones have, you know, come online, and they're probably closer, and they maybe, you know, fit the line, whatever the reasons. That's why I keep saying this feels like a reset year in a lot of ways. But when these people who show up like us, we're going to have a great time, and we're going to talk it up again, and we're going to want you to come back, and everybody else,
I'll be back. I mean, it's very sad, and I had to come to grips with it a couple weeks ago. I really, really didn't want to miss it because, you know, it means so much to me, but it's just, there's just no possible way.
I mean, when you said that, it would be a really tough struggle for you. I don't know how you would do it. I mean, before you lived here and you had all your camping stuff downstairs, like the rest of us, and you throw it in the car, we get in there, and we're there 55 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be that easy for you this year.
Before we get to the final topic of the day, anything else on the schedule before we get to the picks next week? Anything else you want to get to?
I don't remember. Was there anything else for you, Ross?
I'll just throw in Beer Exchange is Friday 11 to 1.
You don't give away all the picks, Russ. Don't.
All right, now I can take next week off.
Spoiler alert. I wanted to give I just wanted to pay a little bit of attention. I don't know how much attention you paid to it. What Hangout did over the weekend. So not only did Hangout have to navigate a terrible storm, tremendous storm that ripped through Hangout Festival, but they did it while losing a headliner and replacing it in 24 hours. Russ, do you remember, do you know the story about how Hangout lost a headliner and then had to replace it with Grizz?
No.
On Saturday, one of the headliners for Hangout Festival was supposed to be Doja Cat. And she had
surgery or something.
Yeah, she had like tonsil surgery, throat surgery or something like that. And she was immediately replaced out of nowhere by Grizz. And by all accounts, had an absolutely incredible show. Yeah, which, you know, it just proves your point about Bonnaroo. You know, maybe you're in a different area this year, Barry, and spending some time with some spaces that you never would have seen before. But the fact that they were able to swing that so quickly and dealt with the weather that they've had to deal with, there is not a year that I can remember where Hangout has not lost a headliner. I don't know how this keeps happening, but, you know, they lose Frank Ocean one year. One year they lose, like, The Weeknd. I don't remember. They lost somebody, and then the last second they're replacing with Mumford & Sons. Like, every year it feels like they're losing somebody up at the top, and it's almost baked into the cake of Hangout. I was like, well, 30% of this is not going to exist here when we get there. And then you have to deal with the weather. And the fact that, like, that looked like on Saturday and Friday, like the thing was going to be shut down and completely collapse. They have a new director for Hangout, and I don't remember when he got here there, but his name is Reeves, and I'm dying to meet him and I'm dying to talk to him because from all accounts, he's a really, really, really smart dude. And, you know, we know the guy that ran Hangout before, and, you know, a lot of this was set up for them to succeed. But I'm really interested to see if we could ever find Reeves to talk exactly about how they were able to swing something in through all of the with all of the stuff that they had to deal with in one weekend. I'd love to get some perspective on that.
Yeah, as we've learned from, again, talking to Jeff Cuellar, who, you know, basically was always in the room at Bonnaroo, they know what they're doing. They plan for these. He's told us before at Bonnaroo, and I know Hangout has the same. They all do. I mean, they have entire, you know, control centers that are just monitoring the weather. They're monitoring traffic. They're doing all this kind of stuff. They have a plan, and like I said earlier, when you were looking it up, we saw it at Forecastle, and even that looked like a disaster, but they got that place cleared out pretty quickly. You know, it's amazing. As you've said a couple of times here in the last several shows, I think the logistics of it is part of what we love about these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
that's
know,
right.
It's not just the music and the bands and the fun. Mm-hmm. It's all of that, but it's watching professionals who know what mm-hmm. they're doing run a major event like this. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, that's part of what I'm looking forward to in a couple of 3 weeks is to see how they adjust to a brand new festival.
So, yeah. With all that being said, Reeves, we'd like to have you on the show.
Come on,
give me
show,
a call,
man.
Please.
Please, yes.
Yeah, because we may not have much to talk about here in the next couple of days.
Speaking of, going back to the lineup, because it came up on some of the discussions, all them witches we thought canceled their summer, but they're still on the lineup. It looks like, and I looked on their website, it looks like they're doing Bonnaroo and then taking the rest of the summer off.
They are. I wasn't sure if we were going to get all them witches or just some of them witches or none of them witches, but we got all them witches.
We got all them witches. So I want to make
Barry,
sure
did you write that down at your desk too?
It was on my yeah, thing to mention.
Chicks and witches.
Chicks and witches. Chicks and witches.
Are we getting all them chicks? I think we are.
Uh-huh. All right. Anything else before we go?
Nope.
I feel like this was sort of a downer, and I don't want it to be. I feel like a Debbie Downer, and I feel bad now.
It's a downer. You're not coming, but no, I...
Yeah, we'll miss you.
You'll be all right. Survive.
Yeah, but I mean, I think out of all the years to miss, you probably picked the okay one.
I picked the right one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly have the right reasons.
It's definitely not ideal, but, you know, there's something like this. I can't. There's no possible way I can get out of this thing. All right. Well
next Barry.
Week next week picks.
Yeah, Barry. Since it's just us, you want to cuddle in the bus?
We might have to.
Bus cuddle.
Things don't get straightened out.
No, yeah.
Bus cuddle. Barry.
That's right.
Get up in them guts.
Did you write that down?
Yeah. Put it down, Barry. Write it down.
Put it down.
Bus cuddles. Yeah. All right. All right, The What Podcast. We'll talk to you again next week. See you. Hello there, friend. This is Brad Steiner.
I'm Barry Corder.
After you check out the latest episode of the What Podcast, be sure to check out some of the other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including
Rootsland. It's an original story of two friends who take a musical and spiritual journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the streets of Kingston, Jamaica.
Or Kyle Meredith With, where you can find interviews with all of your favorite musicians and bands. Hosted by our guy, Kyle Meredith. New episodes air weekly on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.